Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Dude. This weather fucking sucks.
I know. I posted on Facebook today.
It's
a picture of a guy who sits in a plastic chair and it opens up and lets his nuts fall through. And then when he stands up, it pinches his nuts. And I'm like, if this last weekend's weather were a plastic chair, this is it. What
Dude,
a pinch
it's
in
just,
the nuts.
Like, I don't mind it when it's rainy and cloudy and stuff. But man, it's been like a week.
And it's chilly.
And it sucks.
Yeah, lows in the 60s and highs in the 60s.
It's hard to see fucking titties and bikinis when it's this fucking cold out.
Yeah.
I'm ready for summer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe in the whole seasonal affective disorder.
Oh, the seasonal depression?
Yeah. But man, I don't know. I'm feeling pretty fucking
depressed. I don't believe in it, but this is bullshit.
But I am pretty depressed.
I am depressed.
The last couple of fucking days.
We got 80s and sunnies coming up this weekend.
I hope so.
Got a
man.
Big tie-up planned at the local lake this weekend.
Oh, you know what? Next week, Tristan's going to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
I have got to call him and tell him you're doing that. Because he's supposed to come on Sunday.
If he shows up Saturday.
So, yeah. Remind me to text him after the show and see if he's going to come Saturday and get on the boat tie up.
I feel like I was doing something Sunday. What was I doing?
You're not doing anything. It's Sunday.
Royals game. Going to the Royals game Sunday.
At 1 o'clock?
1:10.
Who are you going with?
The company.
Oh.
Taking everybody to the Royals game.
Gotcha.
On Sunday.
I thought it was
I might have extra tickets.
There you go.
So
I might be able to go.
I got one of my guys.
Two more days.
Driving to back out.
Which one? I don't care.
We're in section 420.
I'm out.
In the double letters.
Yeah, I'm out. That's upper deck, dude.
Oh, it's upper deck right behind home. Well, I say right behind home plate. It's behind home plate, but it's way upper deck in the double letters.
Why?
Because that
dude,
was where I could get all the seats together. And they had a
StubHub, dude.
Well, they had a deal where it was like a ticket, hot dog, and a drink for $20.
So it's
like my way to try to get the guys like
a little something extra.
Well, some refreshments and
all
of that.
Man.
So
I like going to Royals games because it's relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little slower. You can actually get into the game if you want. But it's got to be nice out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be warm.
It'll be warm this weekend.
Cold beers.
Got lucky.
Yeah, it'll be warm this weekend. Have you ever seen those dipshits doing the smelling salts? Were they like
at the gym?
At the gym, on the sidelines, people taking a big whiff.
I don't quite...
Have you ever done the...
No, I've never once have I thought, if I smell something rancid, that'll give me the energy to do something.
Well, it's not rancid. It's ammonia.
It's like, I mean, nobody smells it and says like, oh, you have some. Oh, great.
I have some for you today.
Oh, shit. What is this for?
I don't know. Just for fun.
Like, I've never seen anybody do this enjoy it.
Do you know when you get drunk and you're on Amazon and you're like, oh, what about this? What about this? And then stuff pops up at the bottom and you're like, I'm going to buy that.
That thing's got pressure behind it. That lid is crowned.
A little bit. It's not bad. They're really not that bad, but we're going to see what happens to Mitch today.
Oh, boy.
We're going to see if he takes a big
Watch, riff. I have some allergic reaction
You're
to it.
You're not going to have an allergic reaction.
I die on the show.
I have insurance on you. I mean, do you think I'd be prosecuted?
You know, hold on.
What?
I did just watch the Netflix documentary yesterday about the Tylenol murders.
What's the Tylenol murders?
Back in 1982.
Never heard of it.
Somebody was taking what's a white, not anthrax, a white powdery toxic substance that you kill people with.
Cocaine?
No, it's not a. It's not like a.
Anthrax is all I can.
Anthrax.
Think of.
Well, no.
Anthrax is like they put it in the envelope and they mail it to politicians.
What do you kill rats with?
Rat poison.
I know, but what's it? Strict nine. Oh, this
one. I have no idea.
I don't know.
Man.
I can't remember the name of the drug, but somebody was tampering with Tylenol bottles and sprinkling this deadly chemical powder in it and killed 8 people.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Johnson & Johnson recalled like hundreds of millions of Tylenol bottles.
What was...
And this was back before they had like safety anything on them.
Well, that's... Now I'm intrigued. Was it like just someone at a local Walgreens and he
never
was
been
like,
found.
Fuck. Really?
Yep.
It was someone that worked at the factory and he's like, fuck these motherfuckers.
No, because most of the deaths were around Chicago at one store. People, like, they traced all the Tylenol purchases back to one store.
How old's Dan Bianchi?
Yeah, right.
Or Dave Shoemake. Right, just take a big whiff.
Instant energy and mental clarity smelling. That's, now, what if I react so bad that I fling them all over everywhere?
It's your house. I don't give a shit. You got to take a big
whiff. Oh, oh, fuck. Woohoo! Damn. I thought I was... Oh.
No, dude, they're awful.
Woo!
Don't light you up, though.
No kidding.
You gonna throw up? They,
no, I'm not gonna throw up, but my eyes are watering.
Yeah, it's ammonia. I don't know. I don't know how it's legal.
How can they make that smell that strong?
It's ammonia.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
So remember,
look at your eyes, bro.
Oh, they're toast.
Where's our tissues?
Wow, they're right here.
You're gonna need it.
Yeah,
it's brutal. My eyes are burning from just opening it.
Were you with me? So our first plumbing job. The guy owned storage units across the street from the shop.
That's Harvey.
And he occasionally stored some plumbing stuff in those units.
Yeah.
Like modular, like tub and showers and stuff like that. And we were going to an install.
Look at your face.
Yeah, I'm running. Bro. We were going to an install and needed to pick up some tubs or something. And so we go into the storage units and one of the end units was like cut open like a sardine can. And we're like, oh, somebody's stolen something.
It was
in
anhydrous ammonia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we stick our head in there to see kind of what's going on.
Yeah, it was brutal.
And immediately got smacked in the face just like that.
That's what that is.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's ammonia.
Golly.
It's supposed to light you on fire.
Ingredients, ammonium carbonate. Oh, essential oils and natural fragrance. I don't know if I'd call fragrance sounds pleasant. This is anything but.
No.
Wow.
Can't wait till Tristan comes. I'm just going to leave those in here.
Yeah, this just needs to be the test. Like every guest has to smell it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Seriously, I bought like 10. I didn't buy 10 things of that, but I was drunk on Amazon and stuff comes up. Hey, we recommend this. Other people view that. They buy this. And I was like, oh, yes. Yes. Click.
You wined and primed.
It's not good. I know a guy. I'm not shitting you. He was a drummer. Not like any good bands or anything, but he was actually a good drummer. He got drunk one night and bought like 3 Sonar drum sets online. A Sonar drum set is like $6,000.
Yeah.
Woke up the next day, didn't remember. He showed up at his house. His wife was like,
What the fuck? I don't know, babe.
Had to say, he couldn't send them back. So he ended up having to sell them and take like $1,000 loss on 3 different sets.
That sucks.
Yeah. Cost him like $5,000.
Bummer.
Yeah. He paid for shipping. I mean, they freighted him to his fucking house.
Wow. That sucks.
That's drunk.
That sucks.
That's drunk.
Yeah, I don't...
You okay, buddy?
Yeah, no, we're good.
We'll just see if your mental clarity is better.
Yeah, we'll find out.
That stuff's strong.
So, this last weekend, Memorial Day.
Yes.
Quite a few notable events on Memorial Day, right?
There's always a lot.
You got the Indy 500.
Yep.
You got Monaco, Grand Prix, right?
Yeah.
Those are worldwide. So I was looking at some stats on like the Indy 500. The amount of people in attendance to the Indy 500, there's more people in the stadium in attendance than there is in like 4 states in the U.S. So for the weekend of the Indy 500... Those grounds hold more people than the entire population of several states.
What are the states, though? Rhode Island?
Smaller states, but still. And
Montana.
When they took, like, they took 7 into people. Effect, or they took into account, like, the population of the U.S. and the number of Americans in attendance to that, and it's like 1 in 1,000 Americans is in attendance to the Indy 500.
Well, it's like,
I mean, that's a staggering number.
It's like the Kentucky Derby. It's the pageantry.
Yeah.
It's the, I went to the Indy 500.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know what it's kind of like? It's kind of like going to NFL games now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're not, like, when you go, yeah, you're watching the game, but you know the seats better at home.
Oh, yeah.
You can get into it more at home.
Yeah.
It's the event of it, quote unquote.
Yeah, like I posted today on Facebook about those, you know, two events and what's your, like, bucket list item. And somebody said Super Bowl. And I said, yeah, Super Bowl would be cool, but I don't know if I'd want to go to a Super Bowl where my team's playing.
No, you just want to go when whoever's playing.
Right, because if my team's playing, I want to be at home. I want the stats. I want the replays. I want all the viewership.
Yeah.
But if it's a Super Bowl in Vegas and it's two teams I don't care about, yeah, let's go enjoy the fan experience that is the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that's what they say, the fan experience. Like, they have, like, for eight city blocks worth of entertainment and concerts and stuff for kids, and it's just, apparently it's amazing.
Yeah.
George Diaz has been, because it's been down at the Superdome.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been to the game, but I know they just go to the fan experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When it's there.
Yeah, it's like
everyone
says
it's awesome.
When the All-Star game was in KC.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of experience stuff to do for totally free around KC on that weekend. So.
Yeah, when they shut down downtown because they had the power and light, and they shut down like four blocks around it. They had all kinds of stuff out there. It was great.
And
I did
then
not go to the game. I went to that.
We get World Cup next year. So that'll be interesting to see.
I can tell you right now, this fucking city doesn't know what's about to happen.
No, I know. Yeah, they're about ready
they
to be
have
fucked.
No fucking... Dude, Germany's going to be here.
You see them finally cracking down on all the ATV stuff and all the street takeovers and slideshows and everything else.
Started early.
Well, they're trying to show FIFA, hey, we've got crime under control in our city. Look, we've arrested a guy on an ATV.
Dude, they're probably...
You and I both know somebody that was arrested in the sting recently.
Idiot. I love him, but goddamn, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, don't be stupid.
Yeah, you can't be around a group of 4,000 motorcycles. It's not even 4,000. It's probably 400 motorcycles and ATVs and dirt bikes.
And cars.
And
fucking everything else.
Like, they will break up that group because that group is, even if they're not doing anything illegal, just the size of the group is a disruption.
And I don't know if he listens to the podcast or not, but, like, the only reason that you're around that isn't because you like to ride. It's because you want to be part of... whatever the fuck that is.
Well, and
part of that scene.
I mean, you know? I used to hang out in the similar crowd of that, and the idea was
there was 20 guys in there that just like, hey, okay, we're gonna stop here,
and
then we're gonna haul ass, and we're gonna ride, to this place.
Yeah. Well, the idea there was like strength in numbers. You could be a hooligan, you could break the law, do your wheelies and high speeds and everything else, and if the cops did show up,
you scattered.
You had a 1 in 20 chance of getting caught.
Yeah.
Because they're really only going to catch one guy.
Don't be on the 250.
Yeah. Don't be the guy in the back, right?
That was the rule. Don't be on the 250.
But now it's and that was all like pre-social media stuff because this was 20 years ago.
Dude, that was between 2000 and 2006.
Yeah. And so now that social media is so rampant, that stuff has just blown up and it's all about who's got the crazy video of somebody getting knocked out of their shoes at a slideshow. Or who's got a video of somebody getting arrested on a motorcycle.
Well, and you guys weren't like going into intersections, locking down the intersection.
No, God,
and then doing donuts for 4 hours while people had to fucking wait.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, anyone can argue an element of safety. Ours was literally like going to curvy roads and just going fast as a group.
Yeah.
And we would do it at night when there's less traffic and all of this stuff. Like, we were trying to take elements of safety into account, you know?
Yeah.
But... it still was illegal, and so we were going with the strength in numbers idea. But nowadays, I mean, it's hundreds and hundreds of them, and they completely take over.
It's ridiculous.
A street, and they, I mean, I'm sure you could easily, you know, try to say that they're kidnapping or they're entrapping or you're being held against your will whenever you're boxed in at an intersection and you're forced to wait. You know, so like. It's just a hostile situation.
That's a whole nother thing, too.
Yeah.
Like, I love watching those videos, and it's like cars versus protesters when the guy driving doesn't care. Like, dude, if I'm in my silver truck.
Speed bump. Thump, thump.
And I'm like four cars back, and it's like all bikers in front of me, I'm running you motherfuckers over. I don't care. What are you going to... Like, they're beating on the trucks and stuff. Like, oh, you mother... you're tough. Dude, when I run over you with this, I'm not even going to feel it.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, the thump.
In 2020, when all those...
so stupid, man.
All those BLM protests were happening, everything else. Like, I remember Danielle and I having a vivid conversation that, you know, if I ever get stopped by one of those protests, I hope I'm towards the front. Because in the back, you're just in gridlock traffic, and there's not a lot you can do.
Yeah.
Other than, like, start ramming innocent people that are in front of you, right?
Yeah, which I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that.
But
right?
if you want to lay in the street...
But if you want to lay in the street and I've got direct access to you, I'm not saying that I'm going to run you over.
I'm going to run you over.
I'm saying that I'm going to proceed on my way, and if you're dumb enough to lay in the middle of a highway, then you get to suffer the consequences
Have
that come with laying in the middle of a highway
attorneys?
If you don't move.
They're like, look, there's nothing we can do. You can't sue these people. You lay down in the highway.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think is going to fucking happen?
Right.
Like, and how dumb do you
have
to be?
That's like trying to sue Remington because you stuck a shotgun barrel in your mouth and their shell did what it was supposed to.
Yeah. Like, I was shooting the gun and I shot my buddy Ed and fucked Remington. Dude,
right.
You fucked. What do you... Stop.
Yeah.
Back to the FIFA thing, though. Dude, we don't have transportation here to get these people everywhere.
No, I know. Yeah, it's a...
There ain't enough Ubers. There ain't enough fucking cars. You know what we ought to do? We ought to rent us a couple of little buses.
Toros.
Whatever.
$10. If you can grab some Toros.
That'd be perfect.
If yeah. Like, you're going to make a killing next year in KC with Toros.
We could make $20,000 a day.
Yeah, I don't know. You could definitely.
You could make some serious fucking
supply
money,
and demand. For
you
sure.
You could make some real money.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be scary.
You could Toro and Uber. Or party bus.
Party bus.
Yeah.
Just
that'd
get me a party bus, glass off where I'm sitting.
Yep.
Like, you know, so you're not in trouble. And then just take the drunkards around.
Yep.
Pay when you get on. Get the fuck off my bus.
Yeah.
Rich as shit. 5 minutes.
All I do is go from here to here to here to here
That's
to
all
here
I
to here.
That's all you do. All day. All day. All day.
Yeah. They'll kill it.
All you're going to do is make cash and see titties. That's all you're going to do.
At FIFA?
Oh, dude.
Really?
Dude.
I thought FIFA was, like, predominantly dudes. I didn't realize FIFA had a large female following. Oh, nice.
There will be hot chicks.
I'm going to expose my ignorance here. I don't know anything about
soccer. No one's coming from Germany without their hot German wife.
Yeah.
Or girlfriend.
How does World Cup work? Is World Cup a series of games, or is it one game like the Super Bowl?
I love you.
I have no clue.
So there's bracket play first.
Right.
So the brackets are four teams. Okay. And
all of that, all bracket play happens in KC too?
No. The World Cup's all over America. We're just one of the hubs. Kansas City, Los Angeles, Dallas, New York. I can't remember what they all are. Chicago.
Okay.
Are all, so then in, say, like the Kansas City area, there'll probably be two brackets here of four teams.
Okay.
Those four teams in that bracket will play each other. Okay. So each team will have three games, right? And then off of points, the top two will go into elimination play.
Okay.
And then so it'll turn into a NCAA tournament bracket.
Where you have like a final four after you do those.
Well, I think it's 16 teams.
Okay. Because
you have to qualify just to be in the World Cup, then the top two out of every bracket, and then those teams go to a single elimination tournament.
And the final game is still single elimination too?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's just like NCAA tournament after bracket play. Or after pool play.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the whole thing's here?
No. We'll have...
What do we have here,
though? We will have two pool play divisions here.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be, whatever that is, 12 games. What's 3 times 8?
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
24.
There you go. So it'll be 24 games. I was like, is he going to answer this?
I'm like, I paused, like, is he really asking me to do math?
And then And then when they go to the bracket, the single elimination, they'll be like, I think we have two quarterfinal games here.
Okay.
After that.
So we don't get the World Cup. We don't get the championship.
No, I think that's in LA.
Okay.
I probably should have looked this up before we started talking.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't remember. But yeah.
I mean, I knew they were coming. I just didn't know. I don't know enough about soccer to know. So.
Well, you better figure it out.
Because like hockey, it's multiple games.
Now you.
And football, it's not. But baseball, it is.
Yeah, a series. Well, it's not a series. If there's four teams in a pool.
Right. No, yeah. I was just saying, I didn't know how soccer went. So soccer's following more along the lines of like football.
Did you get your season tickets this year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have to get them next year too. You get first dibs on World Cup
games.
Oh,
World Cup tickets if I have season tickets?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you don't go, I'll go.
Yeah.
I will pay for them.
Yeah. We'll lock them in.
Ha ha!
If anything, I'll sell them.
Layla will, because she'll want to go to at least one. I want to take her to one. Dude, going to an actual World Cup game is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity unless you're rich as fuck.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know, those tickets will be...
What do the tickets sell for?
I have
no idea. $1,000 a piece?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
And you'll have the opportunity to buy four for every game.
I hope.
Well... I say that. I wonder how they'll do that.
They don't always give season ticket members first dibs on a lot. When big concerts come to town, your season ticket status doesn't mean shit.
No. I think they do on this, though.
Okay.
Steve was telling me that the other day. He has season tickets. You don't know Steve. Doesn't matter.
I can ask my neighbor. He'd know all the
Dude, seriously. Out. Like, and if you're like, dude, they want $15,000 for all these tickets, I'll be like, I will split
yeah,
with
let's
you.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, and then we'll sell
There's
those.
There's money to be had
we
somewhere.
We will sell those tickets, bud. We will go on fucking SeatGeek and make $1 billion.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Sweet deal.
It will be fun. It will be awesome.
Did you see all the pageantry at Monaco?
No, of course not.
So I didn't realize until this year, apparently all the drivers hate Monaco. Because it's virtually impossible to pass unless it's raining.
It's a tight road course.
Yeah,
super tight.
The track's too narrow to pass, and there's only like one passing spot, and it's got to be perfect conditions for it. And so, like most of the spectators and everybody, like hopes for rain.
I didn't know that.
And I've been watching some. Apparently, this year's Monaco race was very lackluster. I didn't watch the race.
No one does.
Well, yeah. But the drivers were talking about, like, if an airplane could fly over and dump water on part of the track, like, that would be cool.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, or you make people, you're required to have, like, 15 pit stops. Like, that would add, like, there's just not enough diversity to create.
Yeah.
It's like whoever starts the race in first is most, unless they make a fucking mistake, they're most likely going to win the race.
I wonder why they don't just put water on the track.
Well, they could.
In a few of those areas.
They totally could. Yeah. But that's what they were talking about, is like trying to make it more difficult or adding skill to it, because right now it's not. So
I don't, and like we were saying, Monaco's like the Kentucky Derby. It's the pageantry. It's the, I went to Monaco. There's all the yachts out
all
in
the bay,
yachts. And it's just a bunch of rich, smoking hot chicks.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
I was watching a video today about the dynamics of what it costs to park your yacht there and where.
How much?
They have over 700 berths.
And whoa. 700 what?
That's a place for a boat, is a berth.
Oh.
And
I was thinking mooring. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They can moor 700 boats. And depending on size.
That's the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah.
Learn something new today.
I think mooring is like just no services, and berths come with like water and electrical and stuff like that to
gotcha.
Where you can power your
boat. It's an
boat.
Actual dock.
Yeah, you can power it from the shore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But
700?
Yeah, and they were
That's
talking about like if you wanted to moor your boat in the first row of Monaco, where you can actually watch part of the race from your boat.
That'd be cool.
It happens. I mean, you figure your boat, I mean, you're, what, 15 feet above sea level if you're on one of those big yachts?
Mm-hmm.
So to Monaco's,
front row.
To be 15 feet above sea level and see the race, that's that race is
that's close
low
that's close
but those would cost like 40 to 70 grand for the week to moor your boat there. And then they pointed, like, just to give you an extreme, like over here in this corner, which is like as far away as possible from the racing where all the small boats are. I say small. These,
yeah.
These are the millionaires' boats, not the billionaires' boats or the yeah. trillionaires. And even there, it was like 18 grand for the week just to moor it. And it starts at 18 depending on the services you request.
Good so, Lord.
And then there was a picture of like the biggest ship out there, which is like the size of a cruise ship. Probably, I mean, it's big.
It was probably Bill Gates' yacht.
Some, I mean, it's big like that. And they were like, this one's probably 300 to 400 grand to moor it. Now it's way on the outskirts just due to its size. Like it,
yeah.
A ship that big can't get front row.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of interesting cow. To see the dynamics of how the money works there. So
I don't hear the liberals yelling about that. Sell your yacht so you can buy us food.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. But
wow. That's crazy, man.
What I want to focus on this show is actually a lesser known sporting event that also was happening this weekend that I've done a little bit of research on, and this thing is actually really neat. The Savannah Bananas.
The Savannah Bananas.
The Savannah Bananas came to KC and played two games of banana ball over the weekend.
What? That's 10 minutes behind, by the way.
Okay.
Just letting you know. Are the rules different?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to need some context.
Let's look up.
And I know for a fact people that are listening have no fucking clue. The only reason we know is because Mike Moustakas, Eric Hosmer, Guthrie and a couple other players that were on the 15 World Series team
yeah.
are playing on that now.
So banana ball.
Because those guys would only be like 35.
Yeah.
Damn.
Banana ball is derived from baseball, obviously.
No shit.
I'll just read straight from Google the AI overview. Banana ball is a faster, more entertaining version of baseball. It has unique sets of rules that prioritize speed and entertainment. So, inning scoring. Whatever team scores the most runs in an inning wins the inning and gets a single point.
Okay.
The team with the most points at the end of the game wins. There is a 2-hour time limit to the games.
Okay.
No
inning count?
A new inning cannot start after 1 hour and 50 minutes has elapsed. Every run counting in the final inning.
Okay.
Each team will have one golden batter who can bat in any position of the lineup.
I like that.
Okay.
That's like wiffle ball fucking rules.
Now, here's the rules of banana ball.
I do know one rule.
What?
That if a spectator catches a foul ball, it's an out.
Yes.
Did you see the little girl that caught one
uh-huh.
on Saturday? I think it was Saturday. Like up on the upper deck, put her little glove out and caught the ball, and they were like out.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, "Yeah!" This girl was like,
"Depends on
years
if you're
old.
Rooting for the Savannah." Like, I'd drop it and then pick it up if my team's.
Oh, of course you.
You
would.
Know, but
did you? I don't want to get you off track, but did you actually see some of the photos?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, the games were sold out.
Oh yeah, that's what we're gonna talk
out.
About.
Royals can't sell out shit right now.
Right,
and they're pretty good.
Yeah. So the rules of banana ball, no stepping out of the batter's box. Batters cannot step out of the batter's box during an at-bat or it will result in an automatic strike.
I like that.
No bunting. Bunting is not allowed in banana ball, and doing so results in an automatic ejection.
That's gold.
Stealing first base. Batters can attempt to steal first base at any point during their at-bat, including on wild pitches or passed balls.
So the catcher throws the ball back to the pitcher, and the guy at home can just fucking take off for first?
Take off for first. Yep. No walks.
Yeah, you know what? That's like men's league softball.
Yeah.
No one walks. You either swing and strike out like a drunk bitch, or you...
Yep. Instead of a walk, a batter advances to any base they can reach, with the defense needing to touch the ball before attempting an out.
Read that again?
instead of a walk, the batter advances to any base they can reach with the defense needing to touch the ball before attempting an out.
So if it's a pass ball and the guy just says, I'm going to run to third instead of first?
No, I'm thinking four fouls. Or
four balls.
And that still doesn't, like, it doesn't give you a freebie to first. Four balls and the catcher
can throw you out still.
Still has to throw you out at first. Yeah.
That's great.
No mound visits. Not allowed. If a fan catches a foul ball, it's an out.
That's awesome.
And the showdown tiebreaker. If the game is tied after the two-hour limit, the showdown tiebreaker is used to determine the winner.
What? Give it to me.
I don't know what the showdown tiebreaker is.
It's not on there?
It doesn't say.
What the fuck?
Here's a thing on Reddit. Let me see if I can find it there. Okay, here we go. Here's the showdown tiebreaker. Round one, pitcher, catcher, one fielder versus one hitter. Round two, pitcher, catcher versus one hitter.
Okay.
And round three, pitcher, catcher, one fielder versus one hitter, and the base is loaded.
Oh, shit.
This is the final showdown, and every run counts as a point.
Oh, my God.
If at any point during the showdown tiebreaker a home run is hit over the outfield wall, it's a walk-off win and the game is over.
Okay, so you still get the walk-off.
Yeah. So, those are the rules of Banana Ball. Notice how there wasn't anything about balking. Notice how there wasn't anything about, like, showmanship. And if you guys have not watched anything or don't know anything about Banana Ball, check it out, because it is one of the most entertaining forms of baseball ever. And these guys, like the entire team, defensive team, will dance a choreographed dance during the pitcher's windup, including the pitcher and the umpire and the catcher. And they're all doing the same moves and everything. And then at one point during that choreographed song, the pitcher pitches the ball. And the batter can't step out of the box. He has to just sit there and watch the dance until all of a sudden the ball's coming.
I have so many questions. First, how much weed do you have to smoke to create this game?
Yeah, I'm thinking this is stronger than weed. This might be LSD.
Some guy in California just sitting there packing mushrooms away, and he's like, I got it.
Yeah.
I fucking got it.
But they do a lot.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're going to know the answer to this. So do they go to all the MLB cities? Are there only like a few teams?
So yeah, there's a few teams in Banana Ball. Banana Ball, if you compare it to something similar to what we're all kind of used to, it's kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters, where they kind of play the same team a lot.
Well, that's baseball, too. Like, when the Cleveland Indians come here, we play them three times in a row.
No, I know, but the Harlem Globetrotters, like, all season, they played, what is it, the...
The shitbags, yeah. They just, whatever. They kill them.
Yeah. But,
So it's like two teams. Oh, I shouldn't say that. So there's four Savannah Banana teams, and then there's four of their adversaries, and they travel around together.
I don't know.
Is that what you mean?
I don't know how many Savannah Banana teams there are. I just know that Savannah Bananas is more of a entertainment event than a true baseball event. It's very much like Monster Jam. Monster Jam with the monster trucks.
Yeah.
Almost all of those trucks are owned by Monster Jam, and they put on their own point series and everything.
Yeah.
And it's completely independent of other independent monster truck shows that you may see around the nation. And so that way Monster Jam controls the whole thing. They own the teams. They own the drivers. They get to control the narrative. They get to control the outcome of whatever makes it. Monster Jam is the automotive monster truck equivalent of WWE. Yeah. Right. And so Savannah Bananas is definitely not controlling outcomes of games, for sure, because they don't really care what team wins or loses.
No, they're just trying to get people in the stands and be entertained and pay for the entertainment.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do.
And what you'll have is you'll have a lot more, when they reference a more entertaining version of baseball, what they're talking about is the entire gamut. They do trick plays.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this.
And I apparently these trick plays, they're encouraged because maybe they get you more outs or something. I don't know. But you'll see a lot of like backflipped catches, or you'll see
a backflip and you catch it, you get two outs instead of one.
Maybe. So like, I don't know exactly how they, how they foster the encouragement of the trick plays, but some highlights from this weekend, a lot of behind the back catches, a lot of like the ball's coming down and they smack it with the glove and then catch it in their shirt instead.
I like the baseball hat catch.
Yeah. Yeah. Catching it in the baseball hat, the little things like that. Maybe they get
financial incentives. Dude, you catch one in your hat, would give you an extra $100.
Maybe. I don't know.
That'd be crazy. Get me out there.
Even to the fans though. Like, they don't have Savannah Banana cheerleaders. They go pick fans from the crowd and teach them the routines before the game.
So there's a bunch of 14-year-old kids out there. I love it.
They call it the Dad Bod Cheerleading Squad. If that gives you an indicator of who's cheering the bananas on.
We need a Dad Bod Trade Winds calendar.
Yeah.
None of the guys that are in shape, only Dad Bods.
Only the guys that aren't.
Only Dad Bods. Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. So the reason I want to...
Bod Cheer Squad.
The reason I want to chat about the Savannah Bananas is because they've kind of taken the nation by storm. They've hit their surge of popularity, seeming like they've come out of somewhere overnight, but they haven't. They've been around since the early 2000s.
Really?
Yeah.
So the early 2000s, like minor league baseball was fairly popular. Like, we had the T-Bones. They put that T-Bone Stadium in. And it
2018.
Was, oh, that's not that long. 7 years.
Yeah.
But the T-Bones, you remember back in the day when we used to go, they had like beer chug races. Like, you would start at home, and you had to run the bases with a pitcher of beer, and the person that won and spilt the least amount got, you know, free tickets and free beer or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it was, those games were entertaining as shit.
Yeah.
They were a lot of fun.
They
you
were
could
a lot
go,
of fun.
You didn't have to pay a whole lot of attention. You're just drinking with your buddies. Beers were cheap.
Yep.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
This is another level.
So, 2018 is when they originated. 2020 is when they officially implemented their first set of rules.
So what were they doing for the first 2 years?
It's probably loose rules, but they weren't anchored to anything.
They were just out there playing softball.
Yeah. But interesting things to note about the Savannah Bananas. So max capacity for Kauffman Stadium, the Royal Stadium, is 37,903.
That's standing room also.
That's absolute max capacity.
Yeah.
Savannah Bananas sold over 76,000 tickets.
So they were at 26,000 for three games. Didn't they play three games?
Two.
Two games? Holy shit.
Yeah.
So they were max for two games.
So they were max for two games. In 2024, typical attendance for Kauffman Stadium was 20,400. Yeah. And these guys come in and play two games and max the stadium out.
Supply and demand.
Supply and demand.
They're only here twice, two games. They're not there all summer.
Right.
You know, but still,
it goes to show you that when you create a product people want, they will stop at nothing to get your product. Right. And so one of the things that I've noticed, so I followed the guy who's created the Savannah Bananas, and ironically, I don't even know his name. It's just my algorithms have picked up that I like watching interviews of him. And
so they just keep throwing them up on you.
So it just keeps tossing up interviews of him, and so I get to see him talk. And one of the neatest talks that I heard was they were asking how and why they grew at the rate that they did, and they've become such a sensation. And he says they have a fans first initiative. And, you know, a lot of people are going to say, oh, it's fans first, but is it really, right? No, theirs is absolutely fans first. And the easiest way he summarizes that is every ticket that you buy allows you the same access as every other ticket that you can buy. There are no preferential tickets. There are no VIP tickets, and getting
so you just buy a gate pass and you go sit wherever you sit.
No, I don't think it's all GA.
Okay.
But
I thought that's what you meant.
What I mean is, like, it doesn't matter where you're sitting in the stadium, you're afforded the same possibilities of anybody else sitting in the stadium.
And you're entertained.
Yes.
At the same level.
So for instance, like, they always do giveaways for an entire section at the Arrowhead football games, the Chiefs football games.
Yeah, it's always lower level.
And the winners are always the lower level.
Yeah.
Right?
Because they're paying out the,
like,
fucking ass.
Once a season will you see, the winners are never in the middle level because those are all the club level suites and everything else. And once a season, you may see a top level place win.
Yeah.
But
it's always,
it's obvious that the people that are paying the extra amounts for those lower level tickets are afforded a larger opportunity to win some of those giveaways. And so the Savannah Bananas said, no, we don't care. Like, yes, ticket prices range depending on where you want to sit. But if you're sitting in the nosebleeds, you have the same access to being picked out of the crowd for the Dad Bod Cheer Squad. You have the same access to get on the field. You have the same access to all their fun games and raffles and giveaways and everything.
Dad Bod Cheer Squad.
Yep.
That's going to be stuck in my head for days.
But they have a set of core values at the Savannah Bananas that is, like, people should rob these for sure.
Well,
so they are...
List them off.
There's five E's.
Five E's.
Eliminate friction.
Okay.
Entertainment always. Engage deeply, experiment consistently, and empower action.
You can't have experiment. You can't have experiment consistently as your core values for a plumbing company. Yeah. That can't be a core value.
Sure, it can.
You know what that should be a core value for? Fucking date night.
No.
That's what that fucking core value should
Let's
be.
Let's try this. Oop, nope. That didn't work. No, I encourage experimentation in our company all the time. That's why, like, when my guys broke that $1,800 piece of equipment a couple weeks ago, I got the replacement in my garage.
When I think of experimentation, that's not, I'm not like, that's not what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I know. I got it. But.
Do ya?
Yeah.
Do ya?
So eliminate friction. In other words, with the friction, or a lot of things that slows businesses down is friction. And what it is you're not delegating properly enough. You're delegating the tasks without delegating the responsibilities. And if you do that, you will have friction. In other words, Dave, I want you to go out and price this plumbing job, but I'm not going to arm you with a price book. I want you to just go out there and then call me and relay me the information, and I control the pricing, and you can't do anything until I tell you what to price it for.
Yeah.
And then if I choose a price that's too much or too little, then you don't bear that responsibility either, right?
Yeah.
That is
putting... The same thing as having to jump through too many hoops to get the job done.
That's putting friction in place, right? That's going to stall progress. Can you imagine if you went to McDonald's and they had to call the manager or the boss every time somebody wanted a number three with fries and a Coke, right? If the employees of McDonald's didn't have a pricing menu to present to their customers.
He said he wanted a small fry instead of the standard. What do I do?
Right.
What's the discount?
Right. Yeah. Can you imagine if you went to the grocery store and they had to have a manager's approval to scan coupons, right? You're bottlenecking the purchasing process by forcing a manager to come. Like, if the manager's not going to do anything other than just type in their code and leave, that's a bottleneck, right?
Yeah.
Now, if the manager, like, I get it with alcohol or something else, like, there may be rules to where I physically can't touch this bottle of alcohol, so I have to have the manager come over.
Yeah, there are kids
different.
That are under 18 working a fucking prize chopper.
That's different,
Didn't
right?
you work a prize chopper?
Nope, never have.
No?
Nope.
Sure.
So eliminating friction is anything that slows down the purchase of a sale. And most people are afraid to eliminate friction because they're afraid to relinquish responsibility. They act like they want to be the boss of somebody, but they don't really want to be the boss. They just want to boss somebody around, and that's different. And so eliminating friction is key to growth. Entertainment always. So Savannah Bananas are an entertainment baseball team, and so their goal is to entertain always, yeah. right?
In your business, it would be like service always.
Service always, yeah. right? Provide impeccable levels of service. And in their industry, entertainment is the service. That's why people buy tickets,
yeah.
right? In our industry, it's plumbing, proper plumbing repairs. That's part of like why we get the 10,000-hour guarantee is so that we can make sure that we're servicing your plumbing correctly.
You know what?
Always.
I don't want to get you sidetracked, but if I'd have known this stuff before, I'd probably went to the fucking game the other day.
Yeah. Dude, it's I didn't learn this until after the games were over. This was like Saturday night that I learned
all this. That's what I'm saying. Like, holy shit. Did you look and see when they're coming back?
I don't know. I haven't.
We'll talk about that in a minute. I'll look it up.
Engage deeply. And so for the Savannah Bananas, what this means is they deeply engage with their fans. And anytime they're presented with a problem, they will find a solution that forces or causes further engagement with their fans and deeper engagement with their fans. Hence, we don't bring our own cheerleaders. We grab our cheerleaders out of the crowd. They're one of everybody, right? And we entertain with our songs and our dances and our choreographed routines, and we keep it lively, right? They entertain, like everybody loves to catch a foul ball in a baseball stadium, right? That's kind of a notable thing. They keep yeah. them. I caught that, 3 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, I got one.
Right. But catching a foul ball doesn't really mean a lot, except at a Savannah Bananas game.
That's an out, bitch.
And then it's an out. Or you intentionally didn't catch it but walked away with the ball, so you didn't get your favorite team an out or whatever the case may be. They have found ways to engage with their fans at all levels of everything. Their ticket restriction of there are no restrictions with tickets. Every ticket in the stadium equals you the same opportunities as every ticket in the stadium. That's friggin' amazing. That's how you engage with fans at all walks of life. It shouldn't just be the wealthy fans that get the better opportunities. All fans should get it. Experiment constantly. This is where most businesses go wrong, because most businesses want to stick with the way we've always done it. And if you're not experimenting, you're not failing. And if you're not failing, you're not learning. And if you're not learning, you will fail, right? You will eventually be not in the limelight.
Dude, they are sold out.
Hey, boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started TradeWinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
Until August.
Yeah, I bet.
Not a major sports organization, not one of the top five.
Yeah.
Just something like they've taken something and run with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in August, they will be, August 8th through 9th, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
There we go. We might be making a trip to Louisiana.
Chicago, Illinois, August 15th to 16th.
Oh, man.
I mean, we're talking about seeing some members now.
Yeah, it's a members trip.
Wow.
So part of experimenting constantly for them has been like with their songs and dances and routines and how do we get the crowd involved and all of that kind of stuff, right? Because if you can engage the crowd, you're good. Other parts of their experimenting constantly, and this is probably why it took them 2 years to really cement the rules in, is they were experimenting. Is this a good rule? Does this add to the entertainment value or does this take away?
Yeah.
Right? And it's no different than the struggles with like MLB is facing right now with strike zones and automatic strike zones or AI strike zones or robotic or whatever, right? Baseball's been around long enough so you have enough memory to compare it to, but like the human, if you eliminate the human factor out of a lot of things, it changes the game for the worse. Like the human factor is kind of needed in some areas. And it's no different than like spotting the ball in the NFL is like you don't like for the outcome of a game to be determined by a good or a bad spot of the ball. But as the Chiefs and Bills played in that championship game,
yeah,
the spot of the ball could have determined the outcome of the game. And so it's not a simple rule of, oh, we just put in electronic spotting. Like, we got to
work through it.
We got to work through it as to what engages the fans the most.
Well, in base, to bring it back to baseball, so they started the pitch clock.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
Games were 3.5 and 4 hours during the week.
Yeah.
During this, that's too much.
Yeah.
You can't get your kids to go to a game and then they be there till 11 o'clock.
Right.
It was killing the game.
Yeah.
Dude, ever since the pitch clock came in, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Games are 2.5 hours.
Yep.
I can literally sit down in the evening and try to decompress, turn the Royals game on, and know I'm going to be able to see the end before I'm just completely fucking wiped.
Yeah.
I think with Major League Baseball, not to get on a tangent, they're going to end up going to the electronic balls and strikes. They're going to leave the umpire out there. He's still going to call them, but he's going to get, you know, a buzz or whatever in his head that says it's this.
Yeah.
Because, like, to be honest, it's been shit.
Yeah.
Last year was shit. This year has started off worse.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Real bad.
And yeah, so whenever you think about businesses having to make decisions like this, you got to keep in mind they're not making, when big business is doing it, they're doing it for what makes the most money. And ultimately what makes the most money is what creates big fan engagement. And so sometimes they'll make decisions that don't quite seem right on the surface. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, we might allow that. Take Clay Chastain in NASCAR from, what was it, last year? Where he was in the 10th position on final lap at, I think, Bristol. And he had to get to the 8th position to qualify for the Cup Series or for the championship or something. And he was heard on the microphone saying, I'm just going to put my foot on the gas and I'm not letting off until I see a checkered flag or God.
Yeah.
And on the final half lap of the race, when everyone dives down to the inside, he pinned it and went up to the wall and stayed floored and ran the wall all the way around the outside of the track. And he went from 10th to 5th in the final half lap.
Yeah. First off, that's a great highlight to watch. It's crazy. No one's ever done that.
And it's now banned.
Yeah.
And part of me,
when you're so good that you're willing to just sacrifice everything in the car, maybe your life to win.
Right.
Like, that's another level.
Well, and part of me is like, I don't know if that was the best move for NASCAR, because that sure is entertainment. And if you left that as a legal option in the rules, then that would create excitement all the way down to the end of every race. Because you never know who might try that.
I agree. The problem with that is, and they have great safety things.
You got a safety element there, right?
And not for the guy. Who cares? If the guy wants to do it. But, man, stuff's flying off that car.
Yeah.
Like, the nets that they have now are pretty great, and they catch a lot of it. But it's like, man, some 5-year-old kid gets hit with a fucking wheel. It's
Or a lug nut or a gas cap or anything. Just anything flaking off that car, right?
That's why they had to do it.
Yeah. But, like,
I like it.
Like that are interesting. And on the NASCAR thing, Garrett Mitchell, his internet persona is Cletus McFarland. He's got a big YouTube.
Cletus.
I
know. It's hilarious.
He's an entertainer through and through, and he does it right. And he's all about America, and he's all about horsepower and sports and just things that make you say, hell yeah, as a dude, right? He's big into RC cars and helicopters and all this stuff.
Are we back to the powerboats for Mitch?
Fuck
yeah,
he
man.
He does powerboats. He does helicopters. He does all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
And he's been to a couple NASCAR races now.
Yeah.
And he did well in them. They were ARCA series races, but he did well. And
there's a lot of levels to racing.
Well,
like, if you want to just do it for fun and have some money, you can get into it.
There's big money if NASCAR can find a way to continue to support Garrett Mitchell getting into their sport. There's big money in it for NASCAR, because his following is so huge, and a lot of those followers may or may not have been all that big into NASCAR. But Garrett Mitchell does something, he calls it the Freedom 500, where he buys hundreds of used Crown Vics from auctions all over the nation. He has a team of people that buys Crown Vics, and he brings, like, he supplies the car, and then he invites all these drivers, and it's drivers from all walks of life.
Yeah. Hey, dude, you want to race?
It's drift racers. Bro. It's Travis Pastrana. It's IndyCar racers. It's NASCAR racers. It's Top Fuel dragsters. It's anybody in the racing scene.
Which car do you want? I want the one with 180,000.
Yeah. Like all of these cars are built by his place, and they're just like made safe for racing, but they're all factory stock Crown Vics.
Yeah, they're just roll cages and safety glass. That's probably all they're doing, pulling some of the guts out.
And then they go interior race them. And like, believe it or not, that's and then he sells tickets on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more entertaining than a NASCAR race.
Oh, yeah.
Because some of these people are everyday Joes.
Yeah.
In an everyday car.
Yeah.
Going and doing something that typically only pros get to do, right?
Typically something that the average Joe wants to do.
Yeah.
So there's 10 guys in that guy's neighborhood that are like, dude, I want to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got
I
land.
I want to do it.
I'll provide the cars. Yeah. You build the track. Like, yeah.
Man, you know, we were kids. We used to go to I-70 all the time. Mm-hmm. There was a lot more of the roundy round short tracks. I wish, like, the new I-70, since they've redone, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if they could have some more of those. I know in the South it's big as shit.
Yeah. We sponsored one this year. Well,
I know. The little
kid got rained out last week, so.
You going to go this weekend?
Probably. We'll see. We'll have to see how that plays out.
Oh, you're not going.
I probably.
You got the boat thing.
Yeah, I got a boat thing, and then I got a baseball game Sunday, so I don't know if we'll go this weekend.
Yeah, you're not.
Depends on if they race Friday night or not. But the final core value for the Savannah Bananas is empower action. In other words, that's part of eliminating friction, but empowering action is building a team that's allowed to act on their own. And there's a lot of successful business owners that will attest to, you know, proper delegation eliminates friction. Improper delegation is nothing more than just like micromanagement, right?
Yeah.
And
you're the red tape creator at that point.
Yeah, you are. If you find yourself as the bottleneck, so one of the things I can tell you from experience in my own company is if I ever found a problem that I had to resolve myself, first things first is I triage the problem and resolve it. Immediately after that is I'm looking for a way to remove myself as a requirement for this type of solution in the future. In other words, we have an upset customer. They're calling in. They want to talk to a manager about how much they spent on this bill and the pricing and everything else. Well, I wasn't on the call. You weren't the girl answering the phone. You weren't on the call. The person that was on the call is the plumber. So, like, how about we transfer this to the plumber and let the plumber answer for his actions, right? And a lot of customers will say, well, I want to talk to the owner. Well, the owner's probably not in the best of positions to help you, right?
The owner may tell you to fuck off.
It might, right? You never know.
Hey, did you agree to the price? Yeah. Did he give you all the price up front? Yeah. Suck it.
Yeah. But he was only here for 15 minutes. Oh, so you're just mad that he's fast at his work? Like, I can send him back to your house and let him turn off your water for another hour or so.
Do you want me to send him over there with a lawn chair and a six-pack of beer and just have him sit in your fucking driveway for a little while? Like, it's going to be creepy.
Yeah.
But Spencer will do it.
Yeah. he absolutely will.
I know. I like him.
the neat thing with, like, I love getting inspiration from other businesses that are completely different industries and everything, because there's always something to learn. A lot of people will be like, well, we're in the service industry. We're not in the entertainment industry, and so it doesn't apply. And it's like, no, it absolutely does. Like, you could easily alter those to apply for your company. And if you want to stand out and you, like, owning a company is all about being a marketer, right? Nobody can shop from you unless they know who you are. And the easiest way to be a marketer is to stand out from the crowd. And if you are just like everybody else, where you do the, like, I quit posting statuses on the holidays for the company. You know, a lot of companies will do the posturing thing. They do the virtue signaling thing. It's with great honor that we're closed today in honor of our fallen soldiers and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, I get it. But, like,
we all know that.
We all know that.
And it's not that we all know it. It's that we all know that you're doing that to fit in, quote unquote, to keep the standard up.
Yeah.
Post on your personal page that's actually thoughtful carries a lot more weight.
Yeah. And if you don't have any thoughtful to post, just don't post anything.
Yeah.
Like, no, like, I've never once gotten a call being like, Mitch, you all right? You didn't post anything about the veterans on Veterans Day.
No.
You know what I mean?
I saved mine for the Monday Motivational for Tradewinds.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a holiday that I care about, I save it for that.
Yeah.
I don't put anything on there.
Yeah. And so there's a lot that you can model from the Savannah Bananas. And obviously there's so much more than we can model that we could talk about in the show. But like, follow them and follow the owner. Let me get the owner's name.
While you're looking that up, I have a question. How do I not have one of those shirts? Is that the little kid shirt? Is that the sponsorship?
Yeah,
shirt?
This is last year. Jesse Cole is his name.
I don't care. Can you get me one or not?
Probably.
Give me a shirt.
This is not their, like, this is last year's.
Do they have new shirts?
I think they were going to make some with our sponsorship stuff on
can
there.
Can you get me a shirt?
I can.
Give me a shirt.
I'll get you a shirt.
I'll wear it. I'll rep that kid proud. I want to go to a race. Bad.
Well, hopefully he gets a little cash bonus from me when he wins.
How old do the kids have to be? How old is he?
10.
Do they have to, like, do a bunch of qualifications and have seat time, or can they just get a car and then get in?
I think they got ages all the way down to, like, 6.
No, that's not my question. My question is, if I want to sign up Layla and build her a sprint car, can she just go?
Yeah, you got to pass tech, and there's probably, like, some basics course that you have to pass, like make sure you know what the flags mean,
you know, okay,
basic safety stuff. But once you pass safety and pass tech, like, you could buy, I'm under the impression you could buy a micro sprint and be racing this weekend. Like, I don't think it's that difficult to get into. And micro sprints are fairly cheap. Like, you can get a fully set up one for $3,000 to $5,000 that'll run and, like, win. And the neat thing with the micro sprints is it's a like sealed and delivered engine.
Yeah, you just bolt it in.
Yeah, you have to buy the listed engine.
Yeah.
No modifications allowed to it. You just bolt it in, it's all about driver and car setup.
Yeah, it's kind of like restrictor plate racing.
Yeah.
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 Because let's be honest, they want the kids for it to be as fair as they can.
Yeah.
I'm just so intrigued by the little kid. I didn't even know it was a thing.
Yeah.
If you think Layla might not be getting a car.
Yeah. Well, I know a guy that might sell some. I can check and see what KR's got.
Tradewinds might be sponsoring a fucking sprint car, dude.
You never know.
I'm just saying.
We got a second place finish on our first race that we sponsored him on this last week and got rained out. So, or no, I'm sorry. We got a second place finish on the first race. The next race, he took 8th of 9.
Bummer.
Made some mistakes.
That's okay.
Got through it. Learned. Right?
Was he pissed?
No, and I wasn't there for that one because that was when I was at Lake of the Ozarks. Yeah, so,
dude, the reason I ask is because kids are crazy.
Yeah.
Layla played in soccer last Sunday. It was a friendly only for just to get them to play. Okay, mm-hmm. This other team wanted to play, blah, blah, blah. They lost. She was the maddest I've seen her in a long time.
Yeah.
Some of the other kids, eh.
Yeah, eh. They don't care.
They don't care. Some kids are like, fuck everyone.
Yep.
I don't want to say I'm concerned. I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, no, she takes pride in the game.
Yeah. I don't want that Red Dave coming out.
Yeah,
I don't want that for her. Hard to deal with.
But yeah, so like all in the same weekend, we had the Savannah Bananas, we had Monaco, Formula One at Monaco, and we had the Indy 500, which, by the way, did you see the patriotic salutes to the Indy 500,
yes,
and the pace laps.
They're fantastic.
With the helicopters,
yes,
below.
Yes.
Like,
they were fantastic.
They were in the stadium.
They were fantastic.
Not above the stadium.
Yeah. I bet I watched that one replay like 5 times because the sound was really good. And
yeah.
I was like, oh.
If you're...
I was blown away.
If you're at a NASCAR race or an Indy race...
I kind of forgot about that. It was fantastic.
And a helicopter comes flying by, and you're looking down onto the Jesus nut of the helicopter. That thing is low.
Do you know, like, I turned it up in my office, and I have good speakers in there. Can you imagine how fucking great that thump was when
thump,
through?
Yeah.
Dude, it had to have been.
They fly over Arrowhead for a couple of games every now and then, and you can hear them and feel them there, and they're over Arrowhead, not in Arrowhead.
Because that means that shit's hitting the ground. Rolling up,
yeah,
and you're feeling it.
Yeah,
I bet it was cool as shit to be there.
I bet it was awesome.
I will say, politics aside and all the bullshit that's going on, I feel like maybe we are trying to kind of get back to that I'm proud to be an American.
Well,
and so a lot of like this posturing and the military going, you know what, Trump's going to let us do whatever we want. Let's build this bitch back up.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of that is coming back. I hope it is. I really hope it is.
This was like a 2010 era, 2010-ish. But because I've seen a couple of the videos about the helicopters in the Indy 500 race, there was also a video of a helicopter, a Chinook, coming in to deliver the pace car at a NASCAR race.
Yeah.
And they roll like a 2010 Camaro out the back.
It's pretty cool.
And
was that the first year that they had had the new Camaro? It may have been a little older than 2010.
Yeah, I mean, it was a 2010-ish body style Camaro, but they park the ass into that thing on the deck. The rotors never stop turning. They roll it out, and then the thing lifts its gate and just takes off. And it's like, here's your car. Yeah. It's like the Talladega 500 when Trump flew over. Air Force One did the flyover for the
that was cool.
Or was it Daytona 500?
It was Daytona.
Was it Daytona? Okay.
Daytona.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was this year.
Yeah.
Because after he won and everything, he was like, I'm going to be out there.
Yeah.
And like literally they landed that motherfucker. He comes, like they did the flyover, they land, he comes in the entourage, they do one lap. I don't remember if they did one or two laps and they park. Everyone's like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. That's the patriotism that America is kind of known for, and that's what...
Something we need to get back to.
Yeah, yeah. We need to be okay being a badass country. You need to not feel bad.
I'm just sick of all the, America's the worst country. Dude, really?
Yeah.
How can you seriously look yourself in the mirror and fucking say that?
That's somebody that's very unhappy with their own life, and so they're trying to put it out there that the world is why they're who they are.
Yeah. America is just keeping everybody else down.
Not hardly.
Nah. I mean, fuck around and find out, yeah. But for those of us that are here, I don't think so, bud.
Right.
I don't think so.
Right.
Ugh.
So.
Drives me crazy. Sprint car. Okay. I got it written down.
There it is.
Look it up. Sprint car.
That's going to about do it for this show. The purpose of this show was to get you to take real life examples that are happening in your lives every weekend, every week, and start to kind of pick apart, like, why did that thing pop? Why did that thing take off? And you're going to start learning that all of this stuff, this is not happenstance. Savannah Bananas didn't get popular just because, right?
No.
Billionaires don't steam their yachts with McLaren strapped to the top of them to Monaco just because. Like, they've been very intentional with how they've designed their thing to be all about the fans. And you can do the same thing in your company. You can design your company to be all about the customer. And you can be very intentional with all of that stuff. Shoot, we have a Facebook post right now that has over 800 likes on it on our business page. And it's for me giving a branded dog treat to a dog.
People love that crap.
They love it. And it's all about the customer experience,
yeah,
right?
I'll say one more thing to what you said earlier about, and then you'll wrap us up, but about... No, we're not in the entertainment industry. We're in the service industry. If you think that everyday life isn't about entertainment and getting someone to smile or getting someone to laugh,
right,
you're not a good salesman.
Right.
The best salesmen are the ones that make a customer comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and that happens the two easiest way is to get someone to laugh, smile, or feel something.
Yep.
And that is part of entertainment.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to realize the reason I was so good at sales is because people immediately felt comfortable that I was there. And honestly, I was entertaining them a little bit just at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was just, a little acting.
If you want to practice that, go introduce yourself to strangers at the grocery store. Find something to talk about. Find some way to make them smile. We've talked about it on the show before where Danielle and I... We try to do this thing where anybody that we interact with out in public, we find something to compliment them on just to make them smile because it feels good to make somebody smile, right? And even if the person's performing poorly at their task, like you could be at a restaurant and not getting the best of service. There's so many outside factors that come into that, right? The kitchen could be slow. The systems could be going down or having Wi-Fi issues. Like
they could have shitty tips, a bad customers. It
right.
could be a million
they,
different
they things. They could be in a funk because the customer that got up from the table right before you was an asshole. Like, you just never know. And so even then, we still try to find ways to compliment them and make them smile. And it's so cool to make some, like, put a smile on somebody's face, right?
Yeah.
And in a world that's so quick to tear people down and judge people, and it's like, dude, we're just trying to make people smile, you know? Yeah. We even, like, I posted about this little boat tie-up thing on our local community page. And somebody got on there and was like, oh, great. Just what Blue Springs Lake needs is a bunch of boats tying up. And it's like,
I liked their comment. Just I know. For fun. I saw it. I wanted you to see it. I was like, ah, fuck Mitch.
Yeah.
But that's just because.
And it's like, what do you mean? Like, people getting together and celebrating and having fun? Like, if anything, I think the lake would need more tie ups and less water sports.
Oh, because I agree 100%.
The fishermen would rather all the boats be tied up than running up and down the lake making waves.
If I could get you fuckers into a cove off to the side, that would be fantastic.
Right.
But yeah, I saw that and I thought the same thing. I thought, man, like, I've been banned from the community page.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
3 times now.
Yeah.
And they like to just, I can't comment for 7 days.
Yeah.
But it's because when people do stuff like that, I call them out.
Yeah.
Like, there was one last week. It was like, who do I call my neighbor on for not mowing their yard? Blah, 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 this and that, and all this other stuff. And I was like, hey, like, dude, if it bothers you that much, like, why don't you mow it or just pay someone to mow it?
Right.
And then they, like, just were crushing me and crushing me and crushing me. And then I got banned for another comment, so I couldn't. But I messaged them. I was like, hey, man, just to let you know, I've been mowing my neighbor's yard for like 2 months because he went to the hospital. He didn't ask me to.
Yeah.
And it ain't some piddly ass little yard. It takes me 2 hours on my grasshopper.
Yeah.
And I'm just doing it to be a good citizen.
Yeah.
Like you said in your post, maybe instead of berating each other online, we should try to help each other and make it a better place.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe we should just do that.
Yeah. But
to your point, the same, like, why would you put that on there?
Yeah.
Stop being a bunch of fucking dickheads, man.
Can you imagine if we treated adults like we treated kids, or if we treated kids like we treat adults?
All the adults would be in fucking timeout to your first part of that.
So like a kid learning how to walk. He stands up, takes one step, falls down. And everyone's like, oh, that was a good try, right? You take the same scenario where an adult's trying to learn a new thing and they fail.
Yeah.
Fucking knew it, idiot.
You suck. I told you not to try it.
Can you imagine if we treated kids that way?
I know,
fucking
man.
Loser. What are you, three?
It's
like,
it's
get your life together.
What are you, three? You suck. Yeah.
Get your life together, you idiot. Don't ever try that again.
God, I'm going to slap your mom. You're so dumb.
I knew you wouldn't be able to walk.
You're right, though. It's like, man, why is everyone just so fucking negative?
Yeah.
Is it because they have low self-esteem? Is it because they haven't done anything with their fucking lives?
I don't know.
That being said, we were supposed to wrap the show up 10 fucking minutes ago.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, you can take those attributes that makes a sporting event wildly popular, and you can put it in your business and be wildly popular in your business. You're still going to have haters. Fuck them. Yeah. Right? Unless their opinions are cashable in the bank, ignore it.
Yeah. One of the greatest lessons I ever learned was you can't make everyone happy, and there's always going to be negativity.
Yep.
Who cares?
Right.
Fuck them.
Right. But it's your job to focus on your business, and the best way to do that is to put your customers first and find ways to, like, consistently find ways to make the customer experience better. We never sleep on the customer experience. We're always trying to make it better and better and better and better. And next week, we'll probably talk about ways that we do that. So
is that what we're going to talk about with Tristan?
Maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe.
He might be really good at
it. He might be really good at it.
He might be really good.
Given his situation. So. Yeah. Until next week, guys, we will catch up with you later. We do have a special guest coming next week, so tune in for next week's show for sure. We'll see you.